Please go ahead. I got this coming up.
Good morning. I'll call over the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, June 21st, 2016, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you and good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to address items that are on today's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to do so? Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on. Agency reports.
Mr. Chair, right before we begin, I'd just like to make a comment. Many of you may be aware that former Senator Rich Olive passed away. Story City, Rich Olive was just an outstanding gentleman. He was a key leader in Story City and economic development, and he was a realtor for many, many years, and in recent years became active in the Democratic Party and did serve one term in the Senate. But I got to know him and had tremendous respect for him, and he was the type of person that worked across party lines to try to do what was right for his constituents. So I just wanted to send my condolences on behalf of the board to his family for the loss of an outstanding person, public servant.
Well, Wayne, I think that's completely appropriate. Rich was a great guy. He'd been battling health issues the last couple of years. He was all about economic development in Story City, and a lot of the great things that have happened in Story City are directly attributable to Rich's work, and I know he'll be missed by a lot of people, so thank you. All right, agency reports. Youth and Shelter Services, Andrew Allen et al. Are you going to run this like George ran it and bring everybody up? Or are you going
we're going to do it a little bit differently. a little bit differently, but I did bring a supporting cast. So let me just first start by saying thanks so much for all the support that we get from Story County, the Board of Supervisors, the community as a whole. Let me also just say, share my deepest condolences, obviously, for the passing of Paul Toot. Paul Toot was a great man, and really somebody who loved kids. And I know that for sure, because when I made my first appearance at a public forum with the Story County Board of Supervisors, I think I challenged everybody to become a mentor for a grit mentoring program. And if I believe, I remember correctly, Paul was the first one to say yes. And so really excited to have Marty in his position. It was great to hear about the history that you had with Paul, and just want to express our deepest condolences.
Thank you.
Let me say, it's hard to believe it's been almost a year since I took this position. I became just the second CEO of YSS has ever known on July 1st of last year. So I'm excited to come and share the report that was included in your agenda. We've got 3 quarters worth of data. And some supporting reports, and I've got, like I said, a cast of YSS leadership that is going to present some of the details of the programs and the way that we're creating impact in the community. I spent the first few months asking a lot of questions in this role and really listening. I spent 15 years in the business community, had never worked for a human services or a nonprofit organization. Was obviously served by YSS 21 years ago, and so I've been a volunteer for a long period of time, but I had no idea of the breadth and scope of services and the impact that we're creating in Central Iowa and across the state. So I spent a lot of time listening, and I'll tell you that the foundation for the organization is solid. Next month, we will celebrate our 40th anniversary. So anything that stands the test of time, 40 years, is a good thing, and we've got this solid foundation. I believe our staff is second to none. I think that George had a unique position in that he started the organization and likely created all of the programs of YSS. Here I'm coming to the table having created none of the programs. That said, my perspective's a little bit different. We've got experts across the organization who understand caring for kids better than I'll ever understand it. And, I really feel like my job as the CEO is to be sure that I'm empowering them, giving them the tools and the resources to be successful, and I couldn't be prouder of the staff that we've got today. I also spent some time thinking about our message. You know, YSS is 365 employees, about a $20 million budget, 22 physical locations, 7 communities. And even 11 months into the job, I'm learning about different things that we do and the impact that we create in the community. So I feel like we had to simplify our message. At the end of the day, and the leadership team and I spent some time thinking about who and what is YSS. At the end of the day, we're about a lot of different things, but you can boil it down to hope and opportunity. So in everything that we do, we're creating hope and opportunity. And there's one thing that I feel like we do as good or better than anybody else, and it's we put kids first. Okay, so in every decision that I'm making as a leader for this organization, in every public forum that I attend, I'm asking the question, our staff is asking the question, how does this impact kids? Is this what's best for kids? And so I'm challenged every day to think about, you know, the funding formula, to think about, you know, our ability to acquire resources, to think about the way that we're going to deploy programs. And if I'm not asking, is this best for kids, then I'm not doing my job. So at the end of the day, if you think about who YSS is, it's about hope and opportunity, and it's about putting kids first. I developed 5 high-level initiatives, and I thought I'd just share those a little bit because I've got program people who are experts in their space who are doing great work, and they're going to talk about the impact that we're creating in the community. But first was people. Okay, so I think that at the end of the day, the way that we're going to create great results is through our people. You know, experts in the space. I did a tour of the facilities just in my first week, and I got to Rosedale Shelter, the oldest shelter in the state of Iowa. George and YSS created the runaway and homeless shelter system in the state of Iowa alongside Bob Ray. And we're kind of in an old house that I feel like, you know, could be upgraded. I'd love to give them a new facility to better meet the needs and the challenges of the kids that we're serving today. And I got down to the basement into the classroom with the kids. And so I said, hey, you know what? You've got the current CEO and the program director. How are they doing? Right? And so I got some feedback of things that we could do better and things that were going well. And at the end of the day, I said, at the end of the conversation, I said, I'm kind of a competitive person. And I've been to other newer shelters across the state. And I said, how do we stack? I said, who here has been to another shelter? And they all raised their hand. We weren't the first shelter. I said, how do we stack up? And it was quiet for a second. And then the room kind of just in unison said, we'd rather be here. And I said, why? And it was quiet again. And the quietest boy in the room stood up and he said, because the staff here care. Okay, so at the end of the day, you know, this isn't about filling out a form, reporting, you know, specific data, which is important, or, you know, meeting, you know, specific criteria around certification or accreditation. This is about believing in these kids, right, empowering them, giving them the tools that they need to be successful. So people's got to be number one, and I'm going to commit to investing in, you know, the current staff that we have and bringing alongside the best staff that I can hire. Operational effectiveness. I feel like I can be bring some business sense to YSS. Again, 15 years in the corporate sector, while the nonprofit organization is a lot different than business, I want to have the best nonprofit administrative backbone in the state, right? So the best HR, the best fiscal team, the best technology, the best marketing and communications, the best fundraising and development. If I can create a solid administrative backbone, continue, you know, the solid administrative backbone that YSS had is over years, I'll be effective in that second goal. Brand, we're going to launch a new brand next month. So we're really thinking about the way that you think about youth and shelter services. YSS shelter is about 5% of our total budget, right? It's where we started, but it's just a piece of the overall puzzle. Today, YSS has comprehensive services focused on prevention, right, treatment, so we're really doing a lot in the space of behavioral health and transition, you know, moving kids into adulthood. So I'm excited, and stay tuned for what will be the launch of a new brand mid-July. Innovation, I feel like the board hired me because I do bring a different perspective, and so I'm really trying to think about how do we innovate as a nonprofit. I don't get up every morning thinking that I want to go to work not to make a profit, right? So we're about more than just being a nonprofit. We're about creating impact in the lives of these kids and families every day. And so I'm trying to think differently about a business model that will, you know, take us from Currently we're 75% grants and contracts funding from people like you, funding through the state, 25% of fee-for-service model. I'm trying to think, could I get more to 50-50, right, to be more sustainable, such that if I lose a big contract or a grant or the funding's not available, we can sustain the impact and the services that we're creating. So I'm thinking a lot about innovation. And then fund development was that I had four high-level initiatives, and my board said, why don't you add a fifth? Fund development, right? So, again, this is about bringing the resources to bear to support the programs and the staff to create the greatest impact. Again, I think that the model that we're going to deploy across the organization is one of impact. We are for impact. I am a nonprofit, but I'm not pursuing not making a profit. I'm just trying to switch the model and say we're pursuing creating impact, so we're for impact. And ultimately, I think impact is going to drive income. Some quick updates on YSS. Like I mentioned, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary. We close on a merger with Francis Lauer, which is a youth-serving nonprofit, about 10% of our size, in Mason City on July 1st. And I, at the end of the day, believe we'll be better together. If YSS can, provide that solid administrative backbone and allow them to deploy great services, we're going to be better together. We brought a program, Teens Against Human Trafficking, under our umbrella in September of last year. If you follow the news, we'd opened 18,000 square feet downtown Des Moines at 612 Locust, serving transition-age homeless youth. So this is a world-class facility where you walk into the building and you feel hope and opportunity, and I'm excited about that space. We've got our first new construction project underway in Webster City, and really excited that we signed a six-year contract to continue serving the entire state of Iowa with the Iowa Aftercare Services Network. So this was the first contract with the Department of Human Services deployed across the entire state, and YSS manages the program that provides case management to kids who are aging out of foster care from the ages of 18 until 21. But at the end of the day, our home is Story County. Our core is Story County. The impact that we're creating is greatest in Story County, and I'm proud of the results that we're able to share today. I need to let you know just a couple things. Number one, shelter procurement. The Department of Human Services contracts with organizations like YSS to provide shelter. We were the first runaway homeless shelter in the state of Iowa. They're changing the way that they procure services. They're combining shelter alongside group care, and group care is a different model that we're not involved in. It's, kids made it to juvenile court services sometimes. There for 6 to 9 months. Think about Woodward. Think about LSI's got some group care. Think about multiple group care providers across the state. So shelter will be combined with group care and SAL, supervised apartment living, which we also don't do. And the contracts will be by region. So there's six regions for the Department of Human Services. We happen to be in the Des Moines region. So we think there's just going to be one contract for all three of those services for the entire Des Moines region, which is about Ames all the way south. That changes things a little bit for us, right? I'm not sure that we're in a position or that we want to lead that like we lead aftercare. I think that we provide shelter services better than anybody else in the state, and so I'm going to work hard to build relationships with current nonprofits and other groups within our region who may lead that, such that we can be a part of the contract. But I don't know what that looks like a year from now when that new contract gets executed on July 1st. It will be put out for bid in the fall. We'll know the winner in the spring, and it will start July 1 of 2017. But there's some uncertainty here, right? Guys, take a look at your numbers as it relates to the kids that we're serving from Story County in shelter. If we're not a part of the contract that gets executed July 1st of 2017, I'm not sure what you're going to do as it relates to housing, because you're going to be sending them outside the county, because there's only one other shelter in the Des Moines region, and that's in Des Moines. So stay tuned on that. It's something we're following very closely. It's important to YSS. It's core to who we are. At the end of the day, we consistently rank Story County as one of the best in the state as it relates to the way that we serve our kids. I feel like YSS has a hand in that, as do a lot of other nonprofits and social services agencies. If you read the Des Moines Register today, Annie E. Casey Foundation rated Iowa number 3 in the country as it relates to child welfare and the well-being for kids. So I think we're doing a great job. I really think that we're doing a great job. The prevention programs that you're going to hear about create impact and really make a difference. I want to finish my comments on talking about behavioral health. And behavioral health is a field that includes two things, and I'm learning all this. One is mental health, and one is substance abuse. In every conversation that I've had over the past year with a community leader, whether it's the superintendent of a school or the chief of police or a legislator, we ultimately always get to mental health and the needs that exist in the community. Over a five-year period, YSS went from having two licensed mental health clinicians, two, to almost 30. All right? We've got a caseload of over 700 kids that we're seeing on a regular basis providing outpatient mental health services, and we know the need still exists. I've also got 30 inpatient substance abuse treatment beds where we're providing inpatient treatment to boys and girls up to the age of 18, generally 3 to 4 months at a time. 21 years ago today, I was sitting in that program getting sober myself. While a lot of the kids that we serve have insurance, and you've seen the transition to managed care organizations, Medicaid, and while we knew that this would be a bumpy road, we signed contracts with all three managed care organizations. Wayne spent a lot of time right on the child mental health working group to ensure that we've got a system. There's still issues, okay? At one point, we were owed almost $500,000 from Iowa Medicaid Enterprises and the MCO organizations. I just got an update on my way here. It's down to $250,000. Okay, so an organization of our size can weather the storm for a period of time, and we'd anticipated this, but there's a lot of other smaller mom-and-pop nonprofits that this is impacting in a significant way, and they're closing the doors. The need continues to be great, right? The need is there. We'll continue to serve these kids through Medicaid and through private insurance, but there are some issues. One of the funding sources that Story County provides to us, it looked like, I'm getting updates as we close out the fiscal year, we'll leave some money on the table. I'm not going to come back like I did last year and beg for it back because Rick told me, don't do that. Essentially, what I'm going to do is reframe the conversation and let you know why that money's left on the table. These kids have insurance, okay? So we're able to serve the kids that have insurance. Some of the kids have insurance that have deductibles and out-of-pocket copays that are so high at the point that they realize how much it's actually going to cost, they don't come back. I've got, just from last week, June 15th, I've got a kid that was pursuing adolescent substance abuse treatment. And they're out of pocket because this was a pre-existing condition. They had a policy that was grandfathered in. It was going to be $33,000. So before the insurance company picked up anything, this family is going to have to pay $33,000 out of pocket before any coverage would take effect. So we want to continue to partner. We think that you guys are, you understand the need that exists in the community. We think that the state's done a great job at, getting kids insurance. But we also know that there's still some gaps. And those gaps for us, especially in the areas of mental health, outpatient treatment, also substance abuse treatment, come in the out-of-pocket expense and the co-pays that some of these families are incurring. So I'm excited for where YSS is headed. I sure appreciate having you as a partner. I'd like to invite you all three to, we've got an MK Awards Luncheon coming up July 15th. We're going to celebrate the successes of young moms who overcome great adversity and one dad, so young parents who overcome great adversity. We're going to do three other things that day. We're going to launch our 40th anniversary celebration. We're going to share the new brands of the community. And we've got a really, really big announcement that I'm just going to tease because I want you to come. So thanks again for your support and your services. The way that we've laid out these reports today are in order based on residential treatment programs. We don't have anybody from shelter here today, which is fine because I addressed that. But then we've got prevention and we've got behavioral health. So I just want to turn it over quickly to Jerry, and she's going to share a little bit about the prevention program.
Before you leave, first of all, I appreciate your message and the mission that you've identified, and I do want to tell you that I just received word that the legislature had approved for continuation of our children's mental health work group.
Great.
And we will be meeting now the first Thursday of each month. Obviously, I will miss the July 7th date because of the ISAC Board of Directors meeting, but the rest of them just received the notification. And hopefully we will be able to continue to move forward. And some of the things and the information that you've shared locally, I'd like to find a way to make sure that we can present that to the commission, because they're looking for success stories and programs in the state because some of the dollars that are being proposed to be distributed is going to be regional based. And if there are regional programs out there that are meeting the needs of our young people in the mental health arena, we want to make sure that YSS and our area is at the table trying to seek some assistance if at all possible. So I'll be in touch with you or your staff if you can indicate who might be a point person a little bit later for me to follow up with. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. We'll follow up correctly. Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, before you get away, Andrew, on the residential services, just talk me through. It looks like our number of clients are pretty consistent, but our units are down in terms of Rosedale. Can you talk me through that?
Yeah, sure can. Take a look at two things. Number one, this is data on the left. Last year's data is full year. On the right, current year data is three quarters.
Three quarters, right.
So we're already exceeding by seven the number of clients this year than we had last year. So more clients, right, diverted, well, same number of clients, but more clients diverted than we even had all of last year. The changes that they're making to the child welfare system, they're kind of moving, it ebbs and flows. Again, I've just been doing this for 11 months, but what I'm learning is it ebbs towards congregate care, right, where we've got everybody together. And now it's headed the other direction where it's trying to be community-based. They don't want these kids in shelter, right? Shelter is last resort. We're trying to keep these kids as close to home as possible. So I feel like we're doing a good job. Same number of kids, but they've been in shelter less. That to me is a good thing. And then the second number, we've diverted more kids from shelter in the first three quarters of this year than we did all of last year. So I feel like, well, you're paying for a specific service, right? And it's days, kids in beds is the service that you're paying for. I feel good about the fact that we're serving kids for a shorter length.
Well, sure, and not only the number of clients, but the number of units. I mean, you're almost four times as many units in the diversion. So that, I just wanted to make sure I was seeing the relationship between those two. So thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Marty.
No, I'm just struck by the fact that, Andrew, we have our shared history to see a young man who's, you know, I think you were well chosen for this position by the life that you lived, and I'm very pleased going forward to learn about your agency and the success that you had in the short time you've been there.
Exactly.
I think your enthusiasm, you know, springs from a time in your life where you probably weren't going to be a success, and to have you at this agency, you, I think, bring to it a unique set of skills.
I feel blessed every day.
You should. I'm excited about hearing about the new brand, and I said this to you before, Andrew, and I'll say it right here now. The interesting thing for me was with George Bledsoe's, it was hard to tell where George Bledsoe stopped and YSS started and vice versa. And now we get to see YSS really stand on its own with the direction you, the foundation you lay out, and it's exciting to me. Thank you.
No, thank you.
And we've gone from quarterly reports right to an annual report, so I appreciate you coming.
Good morning. For the record, Jerry Buck, Community Youth and Family Development Director, YSS. Andrew talked a little bit about the new format. Since we're only coming once a year, we kind of stole what we do for the school boards, so that kind of a format. So we're describing our programs, giving you numbers, outcomes, trends, and then those wonderful success stories that...
I like the new format.
Good. Thank you. We're going to highlight a couple programs. You were able to read it, I hope. 17 pages, maybe not. But a couple programs that we didn't mention that I wanted to talk about was our Team Maze event. Mm-hmm. That was in April. We serve every seventh grader in three counties. We serve 643 Story County youth during that week out of the 1,111 seventh graders that were served. And that's a neat event. We do a post-survey. We haven't seen a lot of change in the survey results over 6 years. The kids all want to do it again and feel like it's going to make an impact on their lives. For those of you who don't know, it's a two-hour experience where experiential learning kids go through a maze. We talk about health and wellness. Substance use is part of that. Mental health, relationships, and job skills. So kids may become pregnant by flip of the coin. They may get picked up for three drug offenses and end up in jail. Amazing partners, almost 100 different partners. Police forces through all three counties, lawyers, the Story County Attorney's Office provided lots of assistance this year and last. So it's a neat event. One of the things going forward is we're going to try to do some evaluation. Did it really impact their lives? So looking at it 3 years out and as seniors and see what kind of feedback we can get. They remember it. We know that from discussions. So it's a neat experience. I hope you mark your calendar. I'm expecting Wayne to volunteer next year. He'll be retired. First week in April, Boone County Fairgrounds. The other one that we have
been... My car only goes north or south.
Pardon?
My car only goes north or south.
Oh, okay.
Well, look at your right
way. Okay.
Yeah, we'll carpool with you. Being a former middle school teacher, you would enjoy it a lot. The other one that we're involved with, we've been involved since the beginning of summer enrichment programs. Next year we actually have some asset money to help pay for teachers and supervision. And this week, Nevada started AIMS enrichment program, started 2 weeks ago. And we are serving over 200 kids through both of those programs, trying to stop that summer learning loss. Third program, summer feeding program. We've worked with United Way to really get kids food in the summer. And this year, COLO is doing a supper. No, we're not involved with that, but great. So we're doing that both enrichment programs. Boys and Girls Club, I understand, are serving 170 kids a day for lunch. And we are partnering with the Ames Library and doing a program there. And we're serving between 60 and 75 kids a day with that program. So great need in Story County. We'll look at where we need it next year as we expand that. And I'm going to turn it over to Laura Bell to talk Eastern Story County.
Hi, I'm Laura Bell. My assistant is the Story County Center Coordinator. So welcome, Mr. Chitty.
We've already had this conversation at the board here in the school. And so I appreciate what you've been as a partner in our enrichment program here as we enter our third year, because it really wouldn't have been as effective or successful, because we've seen a bit of an increase because of your participation. So thank you on behalf of this community.
Well, thank you very much. I was just there this morning, and the kids were having a great time, so it looked like it was a lot of fun.
That's what we hear. It really is well received, and we seem to see the progression in the educational process by the involvement. So anything Absolutely. You can do for the children, not only in this district, but this county, please do.
Absolutely. Well, and that's part of what we're doing with Eastern Story County is we're trying to work on being even more engaged than we already are and strengthening those relationships that we have with the schools, but also the communities. The schools have been fantastic, as always, and we really truly appreciate their partnership and the relationships that we have with them. I'm working on getting out to the cities more, though, too, contact the city councils and talking with their city representatives about the services that we offer, how we can be better partners, what all we can do to really kind of make sure that we're filling in the gaps. And if it's not us, then who is? And how can we be the resource to help them find those people that can fill in those gaps for them? Also, I'm really excited about the new branding, because I think that's really going to give us an opportunity to really kind of change the face of YSS of Eastern Story County within the community, too, because I still get a lot of the, you serve at-risk kids. Well, sure, but all kids are at risk, in my opinion, regardless of their circumstances. But at the same time, we serve the whole community, and so we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can for everyone to make sure that they have a better, healthier future. So we're working on that. We're also working on expanding our board. So, Mr. Clinton, if you have any openings available.
That would be north of 8.
Hey, no commitment. be giving a lot of things consideration.
I had to try.
Okay.
But we are looking for new board members. So if there's anybody you know of that is really kind of committed to helping youth and families have a better future, we would really like to talk with them. We're working on getting out in the market community, doing more community events, activities, and we'll see me at Lincoln Highway Days again this year with our big Connect Four, probably. So come on by and have fun with us. And that's kind of what we're working on for Eastern Story County. Do we talk about prevention? Or?
Yeah, if you'd like.
Okay. Prevention, kind of what we're seeing overall is we're making a huge impact with our programs. We're seeing a lot of outcome data that's really showing that there's being a needle pushed and the understanding of risk behaviors and making it understood amongst youth that drugs and alcohol are risky behaviors and can harm their health, especially with our community member presentation. But what we're also seeing is the data is showing that alcohol is still the number one drug of use. Tobacco is right up there as well. We're getting a lot of questions from youth in the communities, in the school presentations that we're doing regarding marijuana as well. The students really don't seem to understand the difference between marijuana and medical marijuana. They don't understand that it's still marijuana. So that's something that we're kind of coming up against, especially as the laws are being passed across the nation. We're also seeing increased uses in electronic cigarettes. Cigarette use, so traditional cigarette use, has gone down nationally with youth, but e-cigarette use is increasing. So the trend is still there. And the concern is then that they'll switch over to the other products or that they'll use e-cigarettes to use marijuana, so they marijuana oils and things like that. So there's still some concerns, and we're working as hard as we can to make sure that everybody has the correct information and education.
We're going to talk a little bit about Mentoring and Kids Club.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. my name is Barb Yersner. I'm the Mentoring Coordinator. I will be brief. Most of the information is in my report. I'll just highlight a few things. In Story County, we serve the school districts of Ames, Ballard, Gilbert, Nevada, and we give technical assistance to Collins Maxwell. This year, as of May, we're a school-based mentoring program, which means our mentors meet with the child once a week during the school day, during the school year. So our numbers at the end of May, we served 248 youth in Story County and ended with a waiting list of 44. In addition, some things coming up that I did not include in the report, we were approached by Ames Middle School this winter about the need, I guess I should say, for a mentoring program after school for the middle school students. Number of students are just kind of hanging around after school, no place to go, and they're choosing to hang around but with no positive influence. So we have a group of individuals from the Ames community that are very willing and able, have the time to mentor those kids after school. So come to the school, and the school is obviously very supportive with that, and we'll arrange for transportation for those kids to get home after that mentoring time. So we're very excited about getting that started. Also, Jerry talked about the enrichment program that we have at the Ames Middle School this summer. And in addition to that, we also have summer mentoring. So we've made 13 matches this summer, new matches. So children that are attending that summer enrichment program and eating lunch are able to meet with their mentor once a week also during that lunchtime. And with the stipulation that these matches will continue on in the fall. So it's kind of a head start. So these pairs get to know each other, and then they'll continue on in the fall. Okay. Any questions? That was really quick, but I know we're...
Outstanding. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm Tammy Kratz, and I'm one of the Kids Club coordinators, and this is my first time here, so thank you for having us.
Thanks.
I'm really excited to share with you about Kids Club this year. We are seeing enrollment up at all of our sites, and what Kids Club does is we provide before and after school care in the rural communities outside of Ames. We have 6 sites, 4 of them in Story County, Ballard, Roland Story, and then 2 in Gilbert. We have one at the Gilbert Elementary and one at the Gilbert Intermediate. So we're wanting to provide a great service for families in those communities and to give those kids something constructive and positive to do between the hours of 3 and 6, which is when most risky behaviors start. So we're hoping to catch them early. In the summer, we're providing all-day summer camp. So we're open from 6:30 in the morning till 6 in the evening. I'm really excited that our enrollment has increased and we've got some really great staff on board. We do parent, child, and teacher surveys at the beginning of the school year and the end of the school year, so I've included some of those outcomes in the report. Do you guys have any questions about Kids Club? Or
I think it's amazing that you can get 85% of kids that age to agree on anything. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah, okay. Are you ready to go?
You're done.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you and welcome to the team. It'll be exciting. Okay, cool.
Pass it down. Okay, save the best for last.
I like it. Isn't that the way it goes?
Okay, maybe the oldest for this? I am Jill Hill. I am the Associate Director of Addiction Services with Youth and Shelter Services. And I really mean that. Save the oldest for last. I have 27 years of being with YSS next month. Can't believe it. Gone fast. So anyway, I am representing Treatment Services. Treatment Services, Andrew kind of highlighted some of our programs, our areas in regards to the residential treatment. We also have our outpatient substance abuse services in which we do OWI evaluations, assessments, and counseling services, not only in our outpatient sites but also in the school settings. We have 9 contracts currently for this coming next fiscal year that allows our staff, our clinical team, to go into the school settings and provide services for the behavioral health. And what I mean by that, it's a combination of mental health services and substance abuse. And the trends right now within behavioral health and treatment services is the mental health. And this is increasing, and it has been increasing for the last few years. And so when you look at the data and the reports, you're seeing the substance abuse numbers are kind of dropping down, but mental health is increasing. And this is something that we are very much aware of the fact that we need to continue to grow in our mental health clinical team. And we're continuing to try to find co-occurring therapists. Because I love the idea of the one-stop shopping. Mm-hmm. When a client comes to YSS, I want them to be able to come in and meet with a therapist who can do either mental health or substance abuse. Because really, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Was it mental health or substance abuse? Who knows? But that's something that our trained clinical staff are working on to be able to do the co-occurring therapy for the clients that come into our services. And so trends are we're continuing to look for psychiatrists or psych ARNPs to join our team. There's definitely a need here in the state of Iowa, and we are continuing to provide the counseling and therapy, but also refer for our own telehealth program. We do have multiple wonderful psych services, Dr. Khosravi out of Mercy in Des Moines. We have Dr. Mark Collins, who's out of California, who's providing psychiatry. And also we have another ARNP out of Kentucky. But we're still needing to continue to expand upon that, so we're searching for those individuals to really help our team and to help our clients so they can be the most successful, get the medication management and the therapy and counseling that they need. And then the last thing I sent to you
is just something that we're working on. We are preparing for National Recovery Month in September. Along with mental health, we are planning some services for mental health. The flyer that I had given to you is something you can just mark your calendar with. We're really excited about this. We have a phenomenal person coming in, Marty McGibbon. She's resides in California, and I saw her speak a few years ago at another event that I had attended. She is an individual that really has had a lot of trauma in her life as far as human trafficking, serious addictions to drugs, and she is coming in to speak at ISU, to our staff, to our clients, and to this community to really focus on that there is life even with mental health and addiction issues. And so we're really excited and pumped about this. We're also having Dr. Gentile come in and also do some mindfulness, some grounding tools to really help not only ISU students, but also the students in this community and adults to help put things in perspective, to calm a person down and figure out how you can relax even during these stressful times. So that is my report on treatment services. I won't go into any more details in regards to the programs because you've heard it all.
Jill, I don't know EMDR.
Oh, yes.
2 minutes on that.
Yes. EMDR is one of our evidence-based therapies, and we have 8 staff who have been trained on this eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. That's a mouthful. And this is an evidence-based program that has been phenomenal in working for those individuals who have some severe trauma. And it is and I'm not trained in it. The therapists are. It's a matter of eye movements and hand movements to help them to work on both sides of your brain. And to be honest, I'm not the expert in it. The therapists are. But this is one of those evidence-based practices that the clinical team is very excited to use and has been therapeutically very helpful to the clients, along with multidimensional family therapy, phenomenal evidence-based program, and then client-parent-child interaction therapy. And so we are just trying to find the best clinical team and give them the tools to be the most successful with the clients that we're serving.
When I noticed that there needs to be a purchase of equipment, maybe this is a question for Andrew, do we know what that costs, how hard it is to acquire?
I do not have the cost information, but I can look for that or get that from Andy Olson and then send an email.
Okay. Thank you. Questions?
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Andrew, thanks. Good report.
Excellent report.
Next item is consideration of minutes, and this is both from June 14th and the June 14th Canvas.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any corrections, additions, notations?
None.
Clinton?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Minutes passed. Personnel actions as listed?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second. Chief?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Personnel actions passed. Consent agenda. Marty, you had something there.
I would just like us to pull out item 7 to just, as I come new to the board, explain to me, in fact, what that is.
Okay. And please add road closure 1666 and utility permit 1698 through 1600.
Move approval with noted changes.
We have a motion.
And a second.
And a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda passes. Let's talk about consideration of rental agreement between Gilbert Franklin Township Fire and Rescue Agency in Story County, effective July 1st, 2016 through June 30, 2017, the amount of $5,000 to be paid semi-annually. Marty, that is where we currently store our dive team equipment. So Story County, through the Sheriff's Office, is one of the few counties that has a dive search and rescue team. We have a boat. We have a trailer that boat sits on. We have various equipment, and it's currently stored in Gilbert. That's the rental that we pay to Fire and Rescue in order to store the equipment there. As a side note, it was not a rescue mission, but a search mission. Our dive team went out this weekend. There were some young people who were having fun in Lehigh jumping off a bridge, and unfortunately one did not resurface.
and I think our dive team was instrumental in a recovery operation there.
I see. So this is an ongoing...
It's been going, Wayne. Do you have any idea how long we've been doing this?
Oh, no, but a number of years. But the thought that comes to mind is at the Old Care Facility site, I know we've got our VM over there, and we've got that one kind of big storage shed. Probably needs some refurbishing and some upgrade, but I wonder if that's something that ought to be at least talked about.
Oh, so what's in our what's in our capital improvement program, Wayne? And Leanne's in here. I want to say it's either 2019 or 2020 on the capital improvement program. Is a big storage unit over by the Justice Center, and it would be half dedicated to the sheriff to store sheriff's equipment, which this would be included, and the other half would be for facilities, so that we're not storing things like our snow plows on the end of this building. That's just something we're going to have to see if we can fund, but this would be one of the items that I think would go away if we were able to provide a facility like that.
Well, that was a good thing, because once again, it's not even very out of that dollars on a rolling basis, but the thing is that equipment shouldn't be out anyway.
So if that answers your question, you're
that's just a new guy asking it.
With consideration of the rental agreement between Gilbert Franklin Township Fire and Rescue Agency and Story County.
Okay. Move it.
I would move to accept item 7 on our consent agenda of the rental agreement with the Gilbert Franklin Township Fire and Rescue Agency.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. No public hearing items today. That takes us to additional items. This is a discussion and consideration of Veterans Affairs Commission appointments. It says for 3-year terms. In reality, and I appreciate Brett for pointing this out to me, since we have expanded the commission to 5 members, one of our new appointees would be for a 3-year term, and the other one would be for a 2-year term. And so we'll talk that through as we get there. And Deb Schoenberg.
Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, we're excited about this opportunity to not only expand the number of commissioners, but we will have 2 brand new commissioners through the appointments process. And we did follow a little bit different of a process this time around in selecting those appointments. It is, for the Iowa Code, a responsibility of the Board of Supervisors to make those appointments. And so when we received the 8 applications, we reviewed those. We have a gender balance requirement that we have to take into consideration, not only with this commission, but other boards and commissions that the county is responsible for. And so we ended up interviewing 3 female applicants. And those that were selected were Jennifer Pote and Amy Rosenberg. And I think both will bring great assets and skill sets to the commission, and we're just anxious to get them on board and meet the other commissioners and work with Brett in supporting the VA services here in Story County.
Yeah, so let's talk a little before we get into the specifics of the 3 that you and I are recommending that this board appoint. This is a holdover from our friend Paul too. When the conversation, and Brett, I think it was between you and Paul, I think it was from the commission to you, and then between you and Paul on the need to or desire to expand the commission to 5. And Paul, I think working with you, Deb, had established at that point that if, in fact, we went to 5, he wanted to see a little different mechanism for how we went through the appointment process. Up till now, for at least as long as I'm aware of, we had used a process that entailed the commission receiving applications, the commission choosing who to interview and interviewing, and then making a recommendation to the board, and the board would act on that. Paul decided he wanted to see the board have a little more involvement on the front end and try to really build a commission that was representative not only in geography, but also gender and other age characteristics and things like that. And so on Paul's passing, Deb and I decided that we would follow the model that Paul had laid out that he wanted to use for this, and that's exactly what we did. We started with the premise that we really, really like Terry. We really like Terry serving on our commission. We think he does a phenomenal job. And so we felt like we wanted to recommend maintaining Terry Greenfield on our VA commission. Then we recognized that we've got three 60-something-year-old males serving on our commission.
Where?
And and so we wanted to make sure that we had some gender balance there. So went through the applications and identified three what I felt really qualified female applicants. We brought those three in to interview, three outstanding individuals, but it became really clear to both Deb and I that we had two that would really serve the commission well and be a great addition to the commission, and so we came forward with the recommendation we have. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to the process that we used or what the thought was, how we got there.
Yeah. Well, we looked at their skill sets, what branches of the service that they served in, because that was part of what's in the code as well, is to try and get a well-balanced branch of service representation on the commission. So we looked at that, and both are active in service organizations, and that was something that Brett had passed along to us as being important for commissioners. So, and both are excited about the opportunity, as well as I think Terry is too, about the reappointment, and didn't see any concerns with meeting requirements in terms of attending commission meetings and special events.
Yeah, and both really enthusiastic about the opportunity, both already trying to assist veterans in their own ways. We've got one who is an officer, one who's an enlisted person. I think good age balance, and I'm not going to go there when we're talking about what their ages are, but I think good age balance and bring some age balance to our commission, and I'm just really excited. We talked to them a little bit about what our hope and expectations were for the VA commission and what, from a board's perspective, our expectations are. And they both seem to really get that. But there's no question in my mind that their primary focus in all instances is going to be making sure that we provide the best service possible to the veterans in Story County, which is our ultimate goal. So do we do this one at a time? Do we do it in concert?
Well, prior to taking the vote on these two candidates that you've mentioned, and I appreciate, thank you for sharing the background information process. I guess I wanted to see if Brett or any of the commissioner had any comments regarding the process. One of the things I didn't hear in your summation, which I assume probably took place when we identified the candidates, that there is an opportunity for Brett and someone from the commission to really visit with these individuals, talk about, so that they fully understand, you know, the full impact of this. Has that taken place, or is that something that you do after the appointment and you go through a process of what is kind of like, what's the term I want to use?
Orientation. Sure.
Orientation. Yeah. Every new commissioner goes through orientation. And does that, what happens at that point if there are some any concerns that come up? And I guess I'm just trying to to understand that.
Well, I think it's a reasonable
in
question.
The process.
I did not.
We want our commission to feel like the process that we are working with them on is going to be a good fit for them as they move forward in doing the service as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure
I agree with that to a point, Wayne.
Yeah.
So I did not reach out to Brett. I did not. I think we shared with you who we were interviewing, but we really didn't reach out to Brett or anybody on the commission for input. We don't get to weigh in who's going to sit in your chair. These kind of things, I believe, and I feel very strongly that Paul Toot believed this, in putting this forward. These kind of things sometimes are best served not having an entity self-sustain. There's a reason that it's the Board of Supervisors that does the appointment process. And so I very clearly, rightly or wrongly, Wayne, drew a line in this process, separating the VA Commission from the process of appointing their new members. I feel like that's the Board of Supervisors' role, and I feel like that we weighed in and now have taken that role really, really seriously, depending on where you guys come down on the recommended appointments. I think we've got people that will serve the commission well. I think that Brett will have to go through and do a great orientation. Brett, I believe you know both these people. They indicated that you knew both of them, and actually one of them said that her dream job was your job. So, I felt that there needed to be a line.
I'm not raising this issue from the standpoint of disagreement from the process, but any change from the way we've operated prior to this time, and I do recognize that now with Deb's new role and being a direct contact with the veterans, I know that as a liaison, I did not play a role in that process, and that's probably a good thing from that standpoint. But I wanted to make sure that the process that we put forth is one that our commission, understands the rationale for why we're trying to do it this way, and that, it's going to be a positive thing as we move forward. And while we have that, I think it's only fair that I mention this. I did call Brett yesterday, and I also mentioned to Deb this morning the conversation that I had received, that in the future when we have applicants who express an interest in serving on the commission, we had a situation where one person had expressed an interest a year ago and was not aware that there was an opening now, and therefore no one reached out to her, and it was a female, and was just curious why there was no one that maybe reached out to her to see if she was willing to serve or go through the put herself out for the possibility of the interview process. So that was just something that I shared with Deb, that we probably need to keep a stack or file at least for 1 to 2 years if there are candidates that perhaps were not selected for whatever reason, to reach out to them at a later time to determine an interest or what have you. So I think that in my conversation with her husband, he was satisfied with the why we're doing what we did and how it all came about, but I didn't have a lot of the background information to share, but I do think that that's something that I think would help us, is to at least keep at least a 2, and I'm not sure, 3-year list of potential candidates that might have an interest, and things could change in a 1 or 2 year time period, but that's just something that I wanted to bring to their attention. And
well, I think you're 100% right. I think we want, it's in the best interest of Story County, that we have as deep a pool as possible for any of these appointment positions. And so I think it's a great idea that one of the first things we would do is reach out. And I'm not just talking about the VA Commission. I'm talking about all our board commissions. That we would reach out to people who've expressed interest in the past to see if they still have interest. Because our goal ought to be to really wade through these things as best we can and appoint the right people to these positions. And in a bigger, broader conversation, and since you have gotten here lately where you like to point out pretty readily that you're a lame duck and all of this is going to rest with those of us that follow you, it is my feeling that the Board of Supervisors will be well served to take a much more active and leadership role in identifying and selecting and ultimately appointing those that we're charged to appoint to all of our boards and commissions. And it hadn't always been that way. We tended to take a tack that has let our boards and commissions basically be self-sustaining, right? They would have basically chosen their own members, and that's fine, but that creates some, can create some issues as well. So I'm going to push for the Board of Supervisors to really take a more active and lead in doing these things, and this is just the first of what I hope will be many of those. So with that, I'm going to take these one at a time. I'm going to recommend to the Board of Supervisors that we appoint Terry Greenfield, or reappoint Terry Greenfield, to a 3-year term beginning July 1st, 2016 and ending June
30, 2019. Move the recommendation.
Second.
Discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Terry Greenfield is approved as reappointment for a 3-year term. Thank you. We appreciate your service. Next is Jennifer Pope. Jennifer actually works in the VA in Des Moines. She is, at least for me, and Deb, maybe you can speak to this, she's ultra impressive. She is up on the latest of the national goings-on as it involves our veterans. I think she is committed to making sure that, that veterans receive the highest service, not only receive the highest service, they're aware of the service that is there before them. I think she's going to be an outstanding addition to the commission, and I'm really excited to recommend her.
She's a 2 or 3 year.
She's going to be a 3 year, so I'm recommending her for a beginning July 1st, 2016, for a 3-year term to end June
30, 2019.
So moved. Second.
Discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Jennifer Pope is approved as a new commission member, and I think you guys are really, really going to enjoy her. And then finally, Amy Rosenberg. I found Amy to be an absolute delight. She is, she will be the youngest of our commissioners for sure. Brett, she's a former Navy enlisted person and has had a great experience. Her passion for our veterans, and I think specifically our enlisted veterans, came through loud and clear. I think she's going to offer a great perspective. She is ultra organized. I think she will be a great addition to the VA Commission if she's appointed. I'm recommending her for a 2-year term to begin July 1st, 2016 and end June
30, 2018. So I would move to accept.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on Amy Rosenberg. Discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Amy Rosenberg is appointed to the 2-year term. We now have 5 VA commissioners starting June 1st. Brett, we have indicated that you will be reaching out to them shortly and go through whatever orientation process you feel like needs to happen so that they're ready. Your first meeting is third week in July. Second week of July. If you need Deb to work with you at all in setting any of that up, let us know, but I feel really, really good about where the commission is and where it's headed. So thank you, gentlemen.
And the only thing I would add is those applicants that were not selected or interviewed, letters will go out to them today, so they will be notified.
Yeah, and so I think it's appropriate, Deb, for either you or I to call the one that we interviewed that we did not select in addition to.
How large was the pool of applicants?
We had a total of 8. Oh.
Thanks for such interest.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Next item is discussion and consideration of revised Story County Employee Handbook. Alyssa Winkle. Thanks, Andrew.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You want me to wait for Wayne your turn?
No, go ahead.
Okay. What you have in front of you is a revised employee handbook. As most of you know, a handbook is a living document, so there will be changes from time to time. What we did is over the past year, I take a look at any policies or procedures that were approved by the 3 of you, incorporate those changes into our employee handbook. I also take a look at any federal or state rules and regulations, any changes to make sure that everything in our handbook is up to date as far as all that information. I did provide a document that outlines the revisions that were made to this handbook. I'll just briefly go through that to make sure there are no questions with any of those changes. The first one is in our employment practices. We did have an orientation period or probation period. It's known as that. Of 90 days, I'm asking the board to change that to 6 months.
And that has not been changed yet.
That
would be changed as part of adopting this handbook. I believe, board, that that's the right move to make. I don't believe that 90 days is a long enough evaluation period for a new employee, and I like the idea of moving that to 6 months.
Is this something that you're seeing in industry, both private and government, or is this something we're just doing?
90 days is very short. We have two new bargaining units. Those are 6 month orientation periods, or they call it probation periods in a union contract.
Okay.
6 months, in my opinion, is still a little short. I think when you're looking at what we do here, there may be part of a job that you only do once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. So we may have an employee that will get past their 6 month orientation period that has never performed some of the essential functions in their job just because they're only done once a year or that. So, but 6 months would be adequate. It would be consistent with what our union contracts say. The employees are evaluated. Currently with the 90-day, there's three parts to that orientation period. They get evaluated by their supervisor every 30 days. With 6 months, it'd be every 60 days or 2 months. We would continue with that. So the employee does have feedback throughout their orientation period if we have any concerns. We also give them whatever positive feedback that we can throughout that period.
All right. Thank you.
The Section 5 under our general performance guidelines, those five sections that were modified, four of them were modified due to policies that the board adopted over the last year. So we wanted to get that language into our handbook. The other one, the identification badges, it was after reading that, there was some redundant language. We do like to clean up our handbook with that, so I did remove that. Section 6, our pay practices and hours, there was a statement in the handbook that said only non-exempt employees fill out a time card or give some, record their work. We do have everyone, and for various reasons. We have something that comes in that says the employee worked this week, whether it's state auditors requiring that, or we need it for documentation for work comp issues, different things like that. So we just remove that term non-exempt to correctly, accurately reflect what we do currently. The compensation policy that the board adopted in April, that language was included in there. It was adopted with an effective date of July 1st. So that information is there. And then Section 7 describes our benefits. We update that annually with our new premium information. We do have a carrier change for dental insurance and a name change on our carrier for health insurance. So we want it to correctly, accurately reflect that in our handbook. All new employees go through this. This is their information of how we, all our employment practices, and we want to make sure everything's up to date.
Questions for Alyssa?
None. It sounds like just
excellent standards.
Yeah,
yep.
It is.
Nothing just rises to that, self-explanatory.
With that, I would take a motion to approve.
Motion made.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Chief?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Passes. Alyssa, thanks for your work on this.
Thank you.
All right. No departmental reports today. No other reports today. That brings us to public forum number two. It's an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on this agenda. We're not taking any action, as I say, every week, but we might take action in the future. Anybody wishing to comment on anything? Okay. Seeing no one, immediately moving toward the microphone. Liaison assignments. Wayne?
Just briefly met with Carla this Monday, and we just briefly talked about a couple of things on the Regional Governance Board agenda, the 2080 agreement that needs to be modified and approved, where DHS is no longer going to be serving, and there was a name change, there that needs to be identified, and so that's just should be just semantics. And then there are several contracts that are coming before us that will be voted on and approved. But by and large, things were going okay. And then she just gave me kind of a little update on a couple of the case managers, caseworkers, and that are moving on to other occupations. One have been hired over in Boone, and so forth. And so hopefully she may have an opportunity to work with some of the Story County clients as well. But things are moving along quite well in that regard.
Outstanding, and just a word of thanks from the two of us for you stepping up and taking on some additional meetings in service capacity. I know you're headed to Webster City on Friday, and so we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate what you do and my transition time.
Yeah. Anything from you on that, Marty?
No, just we'll be taking on these responsibilities and meetings here in the next day or two, and we'll be stepping into the role that I was sworn to.
Outstanding. Announcements from Wayne, anything additional?
No, just that I will, the IMWCA, our Municipal Workers' Comp Board of Trustees, we're having our strategic planning meeting on Wednesday and finishing up early Thursday morning. And then our regular board meeting is Wednesday morning. I'm going to plan to try to leave early enough to get back for the Regional Governance Board meeting on Thursday afternoon. But other than that, that's about all that I've
got. Yeah, if something happens and you can't, just give me a call and I'll step in.
Okay.
All right. Any announcements, Marty?
None.
All right. Jessica Reynolds.
Good morning. Pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.5, sub 1, sub I, the Story County Attorney's Office respectfully requests that the board enter into a closed session to evaluate the professional competency of an individual whose appointment, hiring, performance, or discharge is being considered when necessary to prevent needless and irreparable injury to that individual's reputation, and that individual requests a closed session.
Move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We will go. We will recess from open session. We're going to go into closed session, and we'll come back after the closed session. We're in recess. All right, back into open session. Jessica Reynolds.
It is 11:31 a.m., and we are back in open session. At this time, the Story County Attorney's Office does not request any action in open session.
Thank you very much. If there's nothing further, I'd take a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.